Well, yes, these are questions I'm asking everybody. Hmm. Some rather critical things have been said about social workers during this period.
Hmm.
Thinking of the sort of things Barbara Wootton said. Hmm. And so, hmm. But I wondered what you would say about it all.
Hmm. What you mean, that we psychoanalysed people and didn't face their problems?
Hmm. Yes.
I think we possibly did that more, or the period of it came along with the welfare state. Because I certainly wouldn't want to go back to people paying for hospital. And don't get me wrong, I do believe in universal services.
Yes.
But what it removed, I think perhaps, from our consciousness was the reality of money.
Mm.
And it wasn't until I got back to the States that I suddenly woke up.
Yes.
To the fact, you know, that increasingly social services and health services had become very expensive.
Yes.
This may have made us not look at the realistic problems.
Mm.
But honestly, I don't believe that Barbara Wootton was ever right about this, because what she was really making a dichotomy between physical, material needs and the personality and the emotional content which go along with them.
Yes.
And that is a dichotomy, but I just don't think one should play around with.
Yes.
And in many ways, you could argue that she's repeating the old argument which the Webbs had with COS,
yes,
way back before the First World War. But if you get all this right and remove poverty, people don't have problems. This is what they were saying. COS was saying, people are individuals who have problems about knowing how to manage their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps poverty is one of them. You know, and I think if you read historically, you can see there was a complete clash.
Yes. Yes.
Curiously, we didn't see it in those terms, I think, in 1948, when, in a way, the welfare state gave us what perhaps the Webbs were asking for. And we still went on finding patients with problems.
Mm.
We had some false moves about being asked to do nothing but social histories on patients instead of really face them with social difficulties.
Mm.
But illness was still certainly in the in the medical field. Illness was just as much a problem.
Mm.
There were just as many mining accidents, and therefore Warwickshire miner had just as many problems about losing his mining house or giving up perhaps a bit of more wage because he couldn't go down the mine, and he had a pretty mutilated leg. It didn't stop his kid or anybody's kid getting celiac disease and having all the pains and problems of handicapped children. And we were dealing with those, whether because, I mean, in a sense, we didn't have to fight for surgical aid letters to get a leg for somebody who'd had an amputation. But we still had the problems of what family feels like when it had had an amputation.
Yes.
And in a sense, I suppose one of the problems was it is sometimes a help for both the client and yourself to focus on a practical problem, and out of this comes all the feeling. And I think we did get, perhaps, could get involved in this dichotomy. I think now we're facing it the other way round, because in actual fact, we are again saying if we had all these services, you wouldn't need social workers. I know people like, you know, Tilda Goldberg, you know, in her research, you find it very difficult to prove what you did.
Yes.
And to a certain extent, some voluntary work does just as well, because if you emphasize the relationship angle of the helping process, then obviously many people, any client, has many relationships and will find helping material of more or less degree in that.
Yes.
From whether it's from a volunteer. So all you are saying in training is that you're giving people the background knowledge and structures of thinking and practice which enable you to enrich relationships. Enrich that person's relationships with the volunteer who's having to help them more, or do it yourself if you think it's needed. And this means, of course, a fairly acute understanding of the problem. And I have sometimes been horrified. I've done a bit of Red Cross work in examining, for a year or two, and I was sometimes horrified at what Red Cross workers would tell you in their written papers about cases who've been referred on by professional social workers, which I thought, jolly well, that professional social worker should have taken it on themselves. But then, I mean, in actual fact, you knew perfectly well that one very unhappy, making a mess of handicap person is not going to excite the press like a Mariah Caldwell. And frankly, I think very much our focus on social work has been pointed towards, really sometimes horrible press propaganda we've had about this, and the fact that in a way social workers haven't been stood by at all. To a certain extent, not even, I think, by some of the senior staff. I mean, some directors and some people have been notable, I think, for standing up and being counted, the Olive Stevensons, David Allens, people like that. But I would say I don't know that the little down at the bottom rung, professional qualified social worker, always has great confidence in senior management going to the stake on their behalf, as it were. But if that's fair, that's, you know, maybe that they want more than's realistic, because at the other moment they're saying they want more professional freedom. And if you want more professional freedom to do what you like with a client, irrespective of what the departmental policy is, then you can't have your cake and eat it. And if you've made the wrong guess and you've ended up with a battered child, you can't expect the boss to support you, perhaps. Can you? Well, that's the answer to that, the Barbara Wotton question.
Well, the next question really, I don't always find this easy, but perhaps it's unfair. But anyway, so what do you think is the best social work thing you've ever done? What do you look back on with greatest pride and pleasure?
I think, you're excluding teaching, you mean?
It can be anything, it can be several things.
I think, honestly, I did give a very good contribution to the students I had. Otherwise, I would say some of the casework I did and learned how to do when I was in Massachusetts General Hospital and was able from that experience to practice at Cowley Road and in local government.
Yes.
I mean, basically, I suppose I'm a teacher and a caseworker. Who's learnt some of the arts of administration. you know, but not, I'm not fundamentally a person, I think, who wants to be a you know, a very big fish.
Yes.
In a, I mean, I did put in for director's jobs, but I don't think I'd have made a very good one, and the conclusion about 3 years later was a jolly good thing I didn't get it.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Because I didn't really want the life of arguing with committees.
No.
And figures.
Yes. Well, thank you very much.
Well, you?
I wanted to come back to the end of that period. Perhaps it's really, it's moving out of 59 into 60, but I'm interested in your decision to move into the local authority, into community care. And I wanted to ask you about that because I worked with an MSW when I was in Nottinghamshire, Catherine Bates, who also moved out of hospital.
Oh, I know, yes, I've met her once or twice.
And she told me when we used to sort of talk about it, and funnily enough, we worked in the same local authority, and then she was my boss when we were tutors on the Nottingham CSW course. And she said that she met quite a lot of opposition from her colleagues when she moved into the local authority, and she sort of thought of her sort of doing not quite the right thing, and sort of deserting the rank, so to speak. Is that something in your experience?
Yes, except... I've never anybody particularly bothered to keep me in the ranks, shall I put it. I suppose I had been out, of course, in teaching, and I'd been to the States, so perhaps I was slightly out of touch, in a way. Even before I'd finished teaching, I was saying to myself that it may be the epicentre of medical social care and care of the client does lie more and more in the community.
Yes.
And of course very much doing what you call it work, doing geriatric work made me realise this when I got back from the States. No, I always wanted to try it, so I thought I would try it. And if I didn't like it, I would go back to the States. That was my plan. And I liked it. And when I went into it, I went to a professional meeting, people come up to you and say, oh, you've gone to Buckinghamshire County Council, which had a very good record, actual fact, with its medical social workers. Do you like it? Oh, yes, I think absolutely fascinating. And then 6 months later, they'd meet you. Still there. Do you still like it? Yes, I do. You know, but there was a great disbelief. Yes. We were regarded, I think, as rebels, which probably most of us were, loners. Again, some of us may have been very much loners. And a lot of disbelief that you could remain truly professional in that environment. All of which, really...
What did that mean in that? What do you mean by?
Yeah, the professional, I think it's really meant one's independence of judgment. But one, I think medical social workers, hospital social workers had possibly imbibed some of the attitudes and prejudices about public health and local government which the doctors had.
Yes.
And when I went into local government, I was pink with shame sometimes as what the kind of letters my hospital colleagues wrote. Demanding, rude letters, really, no to MOHs about demanding services, giving them no background, and so on. Which really, it wasn't all of them, but every now and you came across one, of course, in Buckinghamshire, any kind of letter like that was slung onto my desk because I was responsible for medical social work service for the handicapped in the county.
Yes.
And one would really be ashamed. And the sort of maddening thing was that if you wrote back under your own name, which I was often allowed to do, then he turned round and was sweet as honey. And it was all based on the fact that quite a few of them knew what went on inside local government.
Something else, not entirely unconnected. When you were at the Institute as a tutor, did you get caught up in the arguments about genericism versus specific?
One heard a lot about it because, of course, the generic course got going.
54. Was being discussed.
And this was really being very much discussed between Eileen Young husband and Helen Rees. And we heard bits of it. I suppose we heard practitioners sort of doubting about it. I think we were sort of firmly on the side of generic social work. So that one may have met it, say, from supervisors and so on.
Well, I mean, was it something that was actively discussed, you know, at meetings or groups of social workers were together?
I don't think so. Not I can remember. Now, people like Jean, who was a bit more involved in kind of policy than I was. But in actual fact, LSE didn't have to account to itself to all the practicing medical social workers, and the question of whether the qualification they gave you would be recognised by the Institute was a great matter for high policy and the council. And I suppose there were negotiations, there must have been, with people who promised that allowed a student unit.
Yes.
Now, I think that Enid Warren was wondering where one of the first student units were, so they may have gone through the agonies of was this appropriate. And the rest of the profession, even if it had thought of almoners and thought it wasn't any appropriate, really didn't have a say in it.
Yes.
Unless. You know, of course, we elected council members, our council members might have done, but if blogs, you know, in the county infirmary somewhere didn't like the idea, that was just too bad.
Yes. But by this time, by the time you were a tutor at the Institute, and there were. You were beginning to get some kind of literature, weren't you? John Morris's book, first edition that came out in 1950, with Gene Snelling's essay on medical social work.
Yes, one of the read that, and Gene Snelling's thing on grief reaction. I've never recommended many of my students to read Cherry Morris on social work.
What, the, you mean the book?
No. I mean, I think there were some early attempts at writing them. There were some 12 case studies, I think, that Flora Beck did, which was quite good.
I don't know that book.
I'll copy it, I'll let you have it. Where is it? These were the very early attempts, I think, to write about cases.
Yes.
With a psychodynamic approach and really analysing the person, stroke, situation, problem. In writing, you know, we were all doing it, I think, or the best people were not, or thinking people perhaps were doing it. The others perhaps rather unthinking. I took on the library and I used to spend a lot of time going through all the journals we had and trying to produce a subject index. It was a ghastly job. I don't think we gave them much medical social work literature to read. We were much more likely to give them any kind of article you could pick up out of the Lancet or anything which gave patients' versions of what it felt like.
Yes.
And, of course, there was growing literature in medical, in the Almanac, and in the Family Casework Journal, and a lot of American. We were using a lot of American literature, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that was rarely all one, and one had, you know, and I think they didn't. I think we didn't. I don't know, the students did read as much. I mean, by then, by the time we had got them, A, they got their lectures, their lecture notes, and we'd have weekly groups with them, you know, making bridges and so on, and teaching them something about theory of social work. And a lot of it was done through practice, really. I think there was a bit of emphasis on practice teaching.
Yes. Did you write up any of your own experience yourself in the Almanac this time?
When I got I wrote up one article certainly about social work in the local authority setting. They were mostly rarely articles after I'd given a talk or something. I wrote something in case conference about the kind of social implications, very much on this theme that you learn that you can't separate out one's emotional reactions from the practice of life, and how much really, in a sense, people have to learn.
Yeah.
You can interpret behaviour, but people learn how to manage themselves through how they cope with many of their life experiences, shall we put it. Not necessarily practical ones, but just life experiences. So I've done a bit of writing like that. No, it was after that. It was in the 60s I worked with Clement Brown on that book. Yeah, I've written a bit, mostly articles. I also acted as editor for a bit, I think. Did I act as editor or part of the editorial board of the Almanac when I was at the Institute? I rather think I don't think I never was editor. I just was on their kind of editorial board. Still probably find something scattered around under my initials or somewhere.
Yes. what would you say were the biggest change in ideas that you've seen during the period 29-59?
I suppose one of the big things is the politicising of social work.
Mm-hmm. Between 29 and
59? Oh, not between 29, well, I suppose we were just beginning it then. No, we hardly had begun.
No.
About sowing the seeds for it, I don't know. I think I was in a very, very medical social work part of it was less involved in political thinking, I should imagine, because illness is no respecter of persons, and therefore perhaps we didn't see problems in the light of poverty. Would you like an apple?
That was very nice, thank you.
Yes, I think probably the growing child care service, for instance, with its greater involvement in local government and having its own chief officers, probably became much more aware of the political dimension. But then, of course, local government wasn't becoming so.
Mm-hmm.
As wasn't anything like as political then when I went in. It was very much, especially in a county, in a semi-rural county, it was not a very political scene.
Would you say it was the growth of the, it's just floating into the moment, was it the sort of growth of the childcare service with its own, as you say, its own chief officer in the local authority, which brought out more clearly the importance of agency function for social workers?
No. You would read some of the things that Claire Winnicott was writing, with a very well-known article of hers on agency function.
Yes, I was thinking. And
I wouldn't really have thought, I should have thought in...
I mean, it's post-chill.
I know, but I would have thought in many ways it's blurred the sense of agency function and the relationship with social work to its agency.
Yes.
Because possibly we've tried to have best of both worlds, both be the political regulating agency and the profession who cares and heals.
Yes.
In a way, you know, or mends, as it were, tries to rehabilitate socially. And I'm not sure that those are really, I more and more think perhaps they are not things which match.
Yes, I just wondered whether agency function wasn't such an important issue, say, for MSWs and PSWs, and it became more of an
issue. It had a very different function. I mean, because your relationship with the agency was different. I think the very old terminology of primary setting and secondary setting was fairly expressive.
Yes.
But the multidimensional aspect of problem solving, I think, was probably more seen in medical social work, possibly, and psychiatric social work, because the patient didn't belong to us only. In fact, it didn't belong to us, most of it belonged to the doctor.
Yes.
So I think it may well be that the sort of very independence, we can go on our own way without involving the other disciplines, is a facet which has come into social work very much via childcare, possibly, because they really didn't need to. They had these kiddies to take care of and so on, and they had financial and parental responsibilities often, which loomed more important, and bereavement, you know, separation, more important than perhaps the other disciplines coming in.
Yes, hadn't occurred to me.
I think this is it, because right out of context with 59, one of the things the modern social services department, in some cases, I don't say all of them, has forgotten to do, and perhaps doesn't even necessity is a good, honest, equally respecting working relationship with other professions. You know, we have become, sad to say, I think, a little bit of God knows best, and we're God. Right, to be quite honest, I mean, we were all very against when the doctors said that, when any other profession said that, or teachers, but a professional hazard, you might say.
Yeah, but that was one of the criticisms Barbara Wootton was making of that early generation of social...
Well, I don't think we were thinking we were God then.
No.
God was the doctor, if anybody.
Yes.
Didn't she? I think she really thought we were prying into... Perhaps she thought God did pry into your personality. Perhaps that was her interpretation. Perhaps that was yes.
Made it sound as though the social worker had kind of infinite powers and could sort out anything and everything. And it was written in a very mystical, decontextualised way. And she said that actually what the social worker needed was the skills of a secretary.
Well, that was, I think, that was not
secretary.
That was nonsense, really. No, I suspect she had one of these peculiarly English profound reactions against the American language, basically.
Yes.
You know, and there are some people who really cannot see the good in any American writing because they get bogged in the language.
Yes, yes.
Aren't there?
Yes, yes, yes. It can be difficult.
I think this is why it was tremendous help for those of us who went over to America, because we got behind this barrier of this rather circumlocutory sort of language.
Yes. Well, I think I put my thank you on the tape, otherwise it looks a bit
raw, doesn't it? Yes.
Thank you very much.